Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 227, the first and the third stanzas. O Lord of hosts, how lovely thy tabernacles are. For them my heart is yearning in banishment afar. My soul is longing, fainting, thy sacred courts to see. My heart and flesh are crying, O living God, for thee. The first and the third of Psalter 227.
Yeah. the portion of God's Word that we wish to read this morning together, you can find recorded in the book of Psalms and of Psalm 30. But first we will read the holy law of the Lord. And God spake all these words, Exodus 20, Deuteronomy 5, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger, that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Psalm 30, a psalm and song at the dedication of the house of David. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And in my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood? When I go down to the pit, shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. Thou hast turned from me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, in whose house we are privileged to come in this morning hour on thy holy day, and we may acknowledge thee and ought to acknowledge thee, though we cannot do it aright before thee, for the multiplication of all thy blessings, even though that we are so undeserving of the least of thy notice or attention. And thou knowest all that lives within our hearts, even despite all thy great goodness, thy long-suffering, thy blessings, that there is nothing in us that goes out after thee. Lord, then it is a wonder that we are spared in this world, and that we are not cut off from thy holy sight. But we have heard it read unto us in these very moments, that thy anger at last but a moment. O Lord, thou art so long-suffering unto us. Could it please thee to break our hard and our sinful hearts under all thy great goodness in this morning hour, and that thou sparest and that thou givest the measure of health and of strength, and in a special way that thou bringest us also around thy holy word of truth, and that everlasting testimony of thee, that word that shall, though all the world shall pass away, that word that shall never pass away. And when everything that is so uncertain and changing here below, and then there is that which is so steadfast, that is never to be uprooted. Thou who art the beginning and thou who art the ending, the almighty and the unchanging God, wilt thou give in our hearts in this morning hour to feel a little bit of that firmness, of that stability, that we also may desire, that we may be grounded and that we may be founded upon that solid rock that cannot be moved. Lord, thou knowest the heart of each and every one of us in this morning, and how that we have come up unto thy house of prayer. Lord, thou sayest in thy holy word, that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, he shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And thou knowest whether there was a secret place in this morning in the places where we dwelt. And when there was one that has gone upon their knees with a burden and that no man can take from them, and where there is no help from anyone in this world, a burden that they have maybe laid before thee in this morning hour, many cares and burdens perhaps in this world, to places where we do not know where to go with anymore. But Lord, thou knowest also that burden that thou layest in the heart of thy own, that is a burden of iniquity and of sin, that we cannot break off of our own shoulders, that makes a man go bow down over this world. And then it is not the sin of others. Then it is not the transgressions of others. But then it is my own guilt and my own iniquity, that I have sinned against a holy, a righteous, and a good-doing God. Oh, that it may be, and that in this morning hour there was such a one that has come up unto thy house of prayer. Oh, could it be that it was not missing in the life and in the heart of each and every one of us? And Lord, then to whom else can a man go? Oh, that thou would draw unto thyself in this morning hour. Maybe there is despondency. And maybe a man, a woman, a child, and doesn't this morning have no place to flee. Maybe it is that there is a feeling of being so alone, not understood by anyone, but all that thou may give a place by thee. Look upon us all together. In all the needs and in the cares of this life, not in the first place. But Lord, as we travel through the meshach of this of the wilderness of this life, and then it is but a short time, and that all the callings that are coming unto us in the way of providence, blessings, and of afflictions, but also in the way of thy holy word, a short time, and that all these callings may be suffered to come unto us, a short time, and that we have the opportunity that they may be blessed and that they may be sanctified, and that they may bring us on the right place on our knees before thee in confession of who that we are, that they may bring us in our need, a true need, and that we may experience what it is to be without God and without hope in this world. That we may seek that hope that entereth in within the veil, that is an anchor unto the soul. Oh, that thou may lead unto thy only begotten Son. Oh, in him there is life. Lord, indeed there is everything. In thee there is gladness, in thee there is joy. In thee there is the solution to every question and every riddle and every mystery. Oh, that thou may so draw unto thyself even in this day, as the solution to all of our wretchedness and all of our misery, and the solution to that great gulf that lies between thee and our soul. The separation that we have made in our father Adam. Oh, then there is a solution, therefore. By nature, no eyes to see it and no heart to receive it. Despising thee, no form, no comeliness. But Lord, when thou wilt give a need truly within, then in thy own time thou wilt also open it unto thy people. That way of free and sovereign grace, or a way wherein a man does not need any more to fulfill anything, then it may be seen and known within their heart that thou hast fulfilled all things to the satisfaction of the Father. O Lord, that thou mayst so reveal thyself in the life of thy children, and that there may be joy and gladness within the hearts. Wilt thou look on all the needs and the cares that there are in this world? Many sufferings, afflictions, and trials, tribulations, and that must be endured on account of our sin. And then we seek to throw off all these afflictions thou knowest. We are not reconciled unto them. Lord, thou knowest the murmurings that live so often within our hearts. Oh, that thou may give us that blessed agreement to come under thee with all that thou dost lay upon us in this life. Because here below, then there is no abiding city, and here there is no heaven upon the earth. And then it is that thou wilt give thy church to long to be delivered, that they may put off a body of sin and of death, and that they may depart and to be with thee, which is far better, thy servant did say. Oh, that thou may give such a desire in the heart and in the life of each and every one of us, and that thou may give strength to bear the burdens that thou placest upon us in this world, and whatever that they may be, without a rebellious heart. Oh, forgive Thou, Lord, all of our many, many sins, which rise up against us day after day, and that Thou would strengthen all those that are afflicted and needy, those that do recover from operations, also the young people, the children, and all those that do mourn the losses of their loved ones. Remember the widows and the widowers, and all those that need Thy help from above. Wilt Thou supply for them day by day in all the loneliness, and that they may find also that place by Thee, that they may feel that underneath are Thine everlasting arms, and that Thou may remember us as a congregation also. Thou knowest also the gladness that Thou hast placed in our hearts, that Thou hast given that young man who was elected to the office of a deacon in the week that is gone by, that he may accept that office. Lord, Thou knowest all the turmoil of his heart. Oh, could it please Thee to give him a little rest in this morning hour and in this day? And could it please Thee to help him from above and all the fears that live in his heart for what is before him, and that Thou may show unto him that Thou art the living God. Lord, that Thou may remember him together with his wife and his family in the future. Do remember all those that are called to labor in the offices. And may Thou give strength from day to day. And may Thou give also a prayer in the midst of the congregations for them. For Thou knowest what it is also to bear that office. Lord, give us to be wise as serpents and to be harmless as doves. Give us to know how to do our work. Oh, that we may do it with all the love of our heart for our fellow man. And may it be also for their profit. Wilt Thou look upon all Thy truly sent servants that go forth to bring Thy word, also the student who brings Thy word in this day. Lord, we beseech Thee for Thy help. Oh, we beseech Thee, Lord, in the days in which we are living, and that Thy word may have free course, and that we may receive the unction of Thy Spirit more and more, and wisdom from above, and that Thy word may find a place in the heart of sinners. Oh, that Thou would plow up the fallow ground, and that Thou would make it able to receive the blessed seed of Thy word, and that Thou may be as the dew, and that there may be experienced something of that taking root downward, and that bringing up of, and that sprouting upward, and the bringing forth of fruit in Thy time. Oh, the husbandman waiteth for the fruits of the earth, and with great patience then he must wait for them. Oh, give us also that patience, Lord, that we may be enabled also by Thy strength to labor in this Thy vineyard. Help us, Lord. Strengthen us, if it could please Thee, to continue our work in the midst of this our flock. And may it be that Thy word may go forth with power from Thy Spirit. Forgive, Lord. Forgive and take away all of our many, many sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. While your offering is being received, sing from Psalter 440, stanzas 1 and 3. In my grievous tribulation, hear my cry in tribulation, O my God, who hearest prayer. Look on me in all my care, Day and night in my complaining, ne'er my mournful voice restraining, I in vain with tearful eye sought relief with Thee Most High. We make the following announcements in agreement with Mr. Peter Suchland. For reasons connected with his travel schedule during the winter months, the consistory of Fort McLeod has decided not to proceed with his ordination at this time. Another meeting for the purpose of electing a deacon will be scheduled in the near future. At the male members' meeting in this past week, Mr. Brendan DeYoung was elected as deacon. He has accepted this office. Lawful objections must be brought to the attention of the consistory by Tuesday, July the 28th. And the last collection today is for the Bolivia Christian School. Psalter 440, stanzas 1 and 3.
Thank you.
congregation with the Lord's help. We ask your attention for consideration this morning of Lord's Day 5 of our Heidelberg Catechism, and thereof only in the first question. From Lord's Day 5, only the first question, question 12. Since then, by the righteous judgment of God, we deserve temporal and eternal punishment, is there no way by which we may escape that punishment and be again received into favor? Answer, God will have His justice satisfied, and therefore we must make this full satisfaction either by ourselves or by another. So far, our Lord's Day. The beginning of the instruction in the way of deliverance. First, place made for this instruction. Second, the foundation explained in this instruction. And third, the opening disclosed by this instruction. The beginning of the instruction of the way of deliverance. First, place made for this instruction. Since then, by the righteous judgment of God, we deserve temporal and eternal punishment. Is there no way by which we may escape that punishment and again be received into favor? Second, the foundation explained in this instruction, God will have His justice satisfied, and therefore we must make this full satisfaction. And third, the opening disclosed by this instruction, either by ourselves or by another. Since then, by the righteous judgment of God, we deserve temporal and eternal punishment. What a difference. What a difference. And that we do here in this morning, we would say that is a different man. And that is indeed what the Lord makes of a man. He makes a different man. And we hear a different question. And we hear a different attitude. And we hear a different tone. Before our fathers, they have laid out what is laying in the heart of a man. And did we also find that this lays in our own heart all kinds of opposition unto the Word of God? And then we say, we look back to our creation we heard. And in our heart then we say that God, He has done it wrong in our creation. Did God then make man so wicked and perverse? Or then we are looking to our judgment. And then we say, does God do right in judgment? Because doth the Lord then do right when He is requiring of a man something that he is not able to perform? And our heart that is actually spewing out all the filth and all the rebelliousness that is living within, that has come from our covenant head Adam, and that is part of the corruption that is now living in our heart. And then we will even place the attributes of God over against one another. But it says in the Word of God that God is merciful. And if God is merciful, why does the Lord then not look over all my sin? Thus our fathers, they have brought out that wretchedness and that filthiness and that rebellion Oh, have you heard it? And have you said, yes, that is now living also within my own heart. And now we read, since then, by the righteous judgment of God, we deserve temporal and eternal punishment. Congregation, what do our fathers do? Our fathers, they have given us instruction, and that instruction is just in that way wherein the Lord is leading His people in this life. Wherein that He is leading His people in that way of grace. What is now that experimental way? What is that way? What are those things that the Lord is instructing His own children in? And how does the Lord find His people? Does He find His people seeking after Him? Does He find a religious people? Yes. Because He will find the people in that house of prayer. But is that now a people that have a willing heart? Is that a people who now are so agreeable to the Lord and to the instruction that He will give? Is that a people who are meek? Is that a people whom He can just who He can just lead as a lamb to the slaughter? Because actually, to the slaughter, congregation, we must go. To what slaughter must we go? Well, Paul, he said, sin works death in me by the law. Paul says the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. That is where we need to go. We need to go into death with ourselves and everything that is of ourselves. So will you come with me? What man will go with me? Or we will not go in such a way. We will not be led in such a way. It is just the opposite. But we are rebelling against such a way. We are like not like that sheep. No, but we are more like that bullock. That bullock that is unaccustomed to the yoke. And when the Lord will try to give us instruction, and when He will instruct His people, then in their heart they will find every resistance to that instruction within their hearts. But what does David say? He says the Lord, He will have a willing people in the day of His power. Or He will have such a people. And so then they experience what that is to be made as clay in the holy fingers of the Lord. And this our fathers are showing. Then suddenly we hear, as it were, a turn in the beginning of this Lord's day. Since then, by the righteous judgment of God, we deserve temporal and eternal punishment. Did you ever come there? David, he says, my soul that is even as a weaned child. What is that? A weaned child. When a child is weaned, then that child is crying. Or then something even of the frustration that can be heard by times in the cry of that child. And then there comes a time that that child becomes quiet. Then there comes a time that that child comes finally into agreement with that will of that mother. And so David, he speaks about it and he says, my soul that has, after all of that rebellion that was within, all that disagreement that is within my soul, that is become even as a weaned child. Do we not read that here? When we hear of this change, since then, by the righteous judgment of God, we deserve temporal and eternal punishment. That is the fruit. That is the fruit of the powerful operation of the Spirit of the Lord and the persistence. We have heard it. When one opposition after the other was coming forth out of the heart of a man, then one after the next, the Spirit of the Lord is taking away every excuse, every blaming of the Lord that is living in the heart of a man. That is a blessing. Did that ever take place in your life? Or does that all still live in your heart? Do you still uphold yourself in such a way? The greatest blessing that we can receive is when the Lord is stripping every excuse of ours away from us, that we may finally come into that place where our fathers say the Lord is bringing His children. Since then, by the righteous judgment of God, we deserve temporal and eternal punishment. May you ever come there. There is there an agreement. And it is, congregation, a blessed agreement. There is nothing so good in our life as when we may come into agreement with the Lord. There is so much rest in that. There is so much peace in that. It is necessary for us that we are coming in our life to see it, not as we saw it, but as the Lord sees it. Because that is the reality. That is the truth. And then here we can read how a man, he comes into agreement that it is right and that it is just that the Lord punishes him. Do we know something, the smallest part also of this agreement, that in such a way our soul may become under the Lord, even as a weaned child? That is a blessed place. Because there in that place, the Lord can give to us instruction. The Lord cannot instruct us when we are in the midst of our rebellion. That is like a teacher, boys and girls, when he is standing in front of the classroom and the boys and the girls, they know it better than the teacher and they have their mouth open and they want to tell the teacher all how it has to be. And they do not have their ears open, but they have their mouth open. And what has to happen? Well, then first that teacher has a task. Then he has to first strip away all the knowledge of that pupil. Then he first must show to him that all that he thought was true, that is not true, and all his wisdom, that is actually nothing but foolishness. And when that student, then he comes in that place where he doesn't know anything anymore. Then he is in a place where the teacher may now calmly give to him instruction. That is now the place that we hear in this Lord's Day. Since then, by the righteous judgment of God, we deserve temporal and eternal punishment. Is there no way by which we may escape that punishment and again be received into favor? Do you hear it? He is not telling anymore. He is finished with his excuses. And now he is asking. Now he has a question. Or he says, is there no way? Congregation, did we ever come in that place where we were finished telling the Lord how that it has to be? What is right and wrong? And that we have begun to ask the Lord. That we have become teachable. And that the Lord can give to us instruction. Is there no way by which we may escape that punishment and again be received into favor? Sometimes, if you will ask, then you may hear a person tell of what they have experienced in a spiritual way. And we have heard that sometimes. That a man, he says, how that he has been given to agree with his own condemnation. And we have heard a man say, and then I desired to go lost, that the Lord may receive his honor. Congregation, where do you read such a thing in the Bible? Where do you read in the Bible that a man actually desires to go lost? This is not the teaching of the Holy Spirit of the Lord. If a man ever says to you, and then I desired to go lost, then you can be sure that that man has no conception of what it means to go lost. If a man ever says to you, I desired to go lost, then you can be sure that that person, he is seeking to impress you with some deep experience of his life. But it is not an experience that is written in that holy word of God. It is true that the Lord brings his children into agreement. That he brings them into an agreement with the righteousness of their own condemnation. That is now what we read here. Since then, by the righteous judgment of God, we deserve temporal and eternal punishment. That indeed the Lord is instructing his children in. It is also true that sometimes the Lord is bringing that people that they may desire, more the honor of the Lord than their own salvation. That is also true. But that a man desires to go lost? No. That is not the instruction of the Spirit. We do not read it here in our catechism. We do not read. We read just the opposite also in that holy word of God. You say, upon what do our fathers base the experience of God's children? You say that is something that is based just on their feelings? No, that is something we can read here exactly what we read in that holy word of God. Let us go for a moment to the cross. There we hear that thief. And what does that thief say? He says, we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. Listen to our fathers. Since then, by the righteous judgment of God, we deserve temporal and eternal punishment. No, our fathers do not speak about something, some fanciful thing. No, they speak about what the Word of God is teaching us. And when there is such an acknowledgement, what do we read following? Then we read not of a man who desires to go lost. No, just the opposite. We read a man who desires to be delivered. He desires to be saved. That is a man who is praying unto the Lord, even though that he deserves temporal and eternal punishment, that he says, Lord, remember me. And so our fathers, that is the second part of that question. Is there no way by which we may escape that punishment and again be received into favor? And so we hear exactly the way that the Lord is instructing His own church. And again be received into favor. Oh, did you ever think about that, boys and girls? Did you ever think about that, young people? What that word means, favor? Oh, to be brought into the favor of God. Do you ever feel something of His disfavor? Do you ever feel something of His wrath? By nature, we have no desire. We are looking for the favor of the world. We look for the favor of man. But we can leave the Lord so easy in His place. How does that live in our own heart? But when the Lord is so instructing and leading His people, then it is that their desire is after the favor of the Lord, then they cannot do without that favor as they are traveling through this world. And our fathers, they then give an answer. And what is that answer? That answer that is according again to the experience of the children of God. That is according to the teaching of the Spirit of the Lord in the hearts of His own children. And what now do they experience? That is, that they cannot receive that favor except that it has a right foundation. That they cannot receive that favor except that it has a good basis. That is our second thought, that foundation that is explained in this instruction. Foundation, boys and girls, you know where the foundation is spoken about in the Bible. That is when the Lord Jesus told a parable about a house that was built on a rock, and a house that was built upon the sand. And that house that was built upon the sand, that had no foundation, and because it had no foundation, it was wiped away in that great storm. There can be such a beautiful looking house. So beautiful. But how dangerous when a very beautiful looking house has no foundation. And now when the Lord is stripping that people, and is taking everything, every foundation that they are trying to build upon, that they are seeking to be grounded on. Every foundation that they are seeking for their safety, every excuse that allows them to sleep in and rest in the night when the Lord is taking all this away from them, then the Lord must instruct them in a foundation. That is, the Lord begins then at the beginning. And the Lord says, come now, and I will give you the first lessons. What is now necessary from the very beginning? What is it? Since then, by the righteous judgment of God, we deserve temporal and eternal punishment. Is there no way by which we may escape that punishment and again be received into favor? Answer, God will have His justice satisfied, and therefore we must make this full satisfaction. We must make this full satisfaction. The full satisfaction to the justice of God. That is now what our fathers say is the foundation. That is necessary for a man to be received again into that favor of God. And without this foundation, they say it is impossible. Full satisfaction. What is satisfaction? You know what it is to be satisfied. Satisfaction, that is, contentment. When there is satisfaction, then there is a settlement. Then there is no more requirements. Then there are no more demands. It is said that we must be content with the things that we have, that we are satisfied with the things that we have, that there is not a hunger for more, more, more. No, there is contentment. There is satisfaction. Now, our fathers, they speak about satisfaction of justice. That is the satisfaction of the justice of God. Justice of God, that is demands. What does the justice of God demand? Demands two things. Demands when there is obedience, that obedience receives a reward. And that justice that is demanding and demanding and demanding until that reward that is given unto the just. Then there is a second thing. That justice is demanding. It is demanding that where there is disobedience, that there will be a punishment. And when that punishment is not yet there, then that justice is not yet fulfilled. But when both of those things are finished, when the reward is given to the righteous, and when the punishment is inflicted on the disobedient, then justice itself rests. Justice itself is content. It is settled. It is satisfied. And now our fathers, they speak about the favor of God. Favor of God. How does a man receive the favor of God? That is obedience. And the disfavor, that is disobedience. And then the punishment for disobedience that is restoring that favor. Because here our fathers, they speak not so much of the reward, but they speak about the punishment. And when that punishment is endured, then it is possible that a person, he is being restored again into that favor of the Lord. But when that is missing, then there can still be no favor. God will have his justice satisfied, and therefore we must make this full satisfaction. Not a half a satisfaction, not mostly a satisfaction, but we must make this full satisfaction. Justice that concerns itself with every single transgression. Every single one. Young people, children, when we were teaching in New Jersey, then one of the teachers brought the children to the prison. And there they could speak with the prisoners. And one of those prisoners, they said to the children, "You are on the outside, I'm here on the inside." He said, "How difficult is it to get here? From there to here, how hard is that?" He said, "It is not hard at all. All you have to do is one thing wrong. One thing. That is justice. Justice that concerns itself with every single transgression. And when there is still no punishment for that one single transgression, justice is still not satisfied. It is still not at rest. Justice is still pursuing. Do you not feel it in your conscience? There is sometimes the small, we say, the smallest sin. There is a difference between sins. The smallest sin. And you say, that is still sitting on my conscience. And I have to go. I have to go. Because I need to make a confession. This man or to that man. Because I cannot sleep. Because of this one little sin. Then we feel something of that full satisfaction that is required. And how that it is only that full satisfaction of that justice of God that can bring us again into his favor. That is now what the Lord is convincing his children of. And that is what the man is learning when the Lord has stripped away from him all the building of his own excuses. And then a man comes to believe it with his whole heart and is in full agreement. But he does not know what the solution is. Let us sing. 115 stanzas 2 and 3. O Lord my God, o'erwhelmed in deep affliction, far from thy rest, to thee I lift my soul. Deep calls to deep and storms of trouble thunder, while o'er my head the waves and billows roll. 2 and 3 of Psalter 115. Congregation, it is the beginning of the second part of our catechism. The heading is, that is, of man's deliverance. That is after the first part, which is speaking of man's misery. You say, what have we heard so far this morning about deliverance? We have not heard about deliverance yet. We have not heard once yet even the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We live, congregation, in a very superficial day. I have heard people say that the gospel that is not preached in such and such a place because, and then they are counting. From the beginning of the service to the end of the service, how many times that they have heard the name of Christ? And the gospel that is preached, if they have heard the name of Christ sufficient number of times. Congregation, I am so glad that we have our beloved Heidelberg Catechism, because our fathers, they are far from superficial. Have they experienced Christ? They have experienced Christ in their heart. And there is something else that they know by experience, that this is not something that is happening overnight. That is not something that is happening in one day. That there is a way that leads unto Him. And they see the necessity, step by step, of showing the way that is leading unto Christ. That is now the instruction of the Spirit of the Lord. And what do God's people experience? That the Lord is not in a hurry. The Lord is not in a hurry. But the Lord, He is taking time. The Lord, He takes time and pains to lay a foundation, a good foundation, not only in an objective way, which foundation is Christ, but a foundation in a subjective way, a foundation that is in the heart of His people. What is it? It is the beginning of the instruction of the way of deliverance. Our fathers have placed this question in the part of the explanation of, not of misery, in the part of the explanation of deliverance. And what have they shown in the first place? They have shown in the first place how that the Lord is making room for that deliverance. Thus our fathers, they are speaking about that room-making work for Christ as the first part of that deliverance. That is so to the encouragement of those who have begun on that way of the Lord, of those who have had no opening, no revelation in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they would not be so discouraged. David, he says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That was not that he had seen it yet, but that the Lord encouraged him that he believed that he would see it. And now it is the removing of all those false foundations, those false grounds, that is so very, very painful. But it goes before something. It must go before the erection of a new building. And thus our fathers, they have begun to speak about the foundation. That what is necessary before that building can be erected. Do you find nothing of an expectation? Do you find nothing of a hope? When our fathers begin to speak about a foundation, when that building that had to be painfully torn down, one board after the other, so that there was nothing left anymore, and to expose the fact that there was no foundation underneath it, what happens when the Lord begins to show unto that people, when He begins to speak about a foundation? Well, then there are naturally hopeful thoughts. Then there is a holy yearning that perhaps that there is still a way, that there is a possibility that this satisfaction of that justice, or is there a way that justice of God indeed may be satisfied, and that foundation could be laid, that there could be perhaps a building? And so the Lord is leading His children. Then it is not immediately clear unto those people that they have clear answers, that they have clear revelations. And yet the Lord is upholding them in that way, in that strife, wherein their soul that is suffering. And we see that upholding especially in our last thought, that opening that is disclosed in this instruction. Our fathers, they say, God will have His justice satisfied, and therefore we must make this full satisfaction either by ourselves or by another. How do you think it is with the ears of that people? The ears of that people who have to confess that God is right and that God is just in His punishment of them? How do you think it is in the ears of that people whose question of their heart is there no way that we may escape this punishment and again be received into faith? How was that with Ben-Hadad when he came with the ropes about his neck? And he is asking, may we live? Then we read that those men, they did diligently listen. They were looking. Every word that the king was going to speak, they were looking if there was something that they could conceive as being favorable to them. Is not that the same way with His church? They are not sleeping. They are looking. They are listening. Or if they may have today in the house of the Lord that smallest comfort for their soul. And the Lord, He is indeed giving to them such encouragement. What did Boaz say to his handmaidens? He says, let some fall on purpose for her. For whom? For Ruth. And what was Ruth doing? Gleaning. She is picking up what is left over. She is picking up the smallest pieces. that it may be for her nourishment. And our fathers, they lay that out here. And we hear that little encouragement upon that way for that people who are listening. What do they say? They say, either by ourselves or by another. By another. Children. Children. Whose name is hidden there? Whose name is hidden there in that word, another? Say that is the name of the Lord Jesus. You're right. You're right. Say, that is not so clear, is it? It is not the name Jesus. It is not the name Christ. It is the name another. Oh, that is the way it is in the life of God's children. Then sometimes it is not such a clear revelation. But it is, as it were, by this word, another. And by that word, then the Lord is saying to that people, go on, go on, go on. Ask, seek, knock. O congregation, it is the beginning of the instruction in that way of deliverance. And just the smallest, the tiniest opening. And is that not already so good for that people? Did you ever taste it? Oh, did you ever taste it? That the Lord may open it for you. You say it was not so clear, but oh, it was enough to make my heart to burn. Oh, it was enough that I desired that I could come in the house of the Lord again in that afternoon hour. Oh, the drawing of the Lord in the life of His children. Oh, did the Lord ever make room? Did He ever make room in your heart for Himself? Did He ever make you, congregation, a sinner before God? That is already so good. Already so good. Because the first steps of repentance, the first steps of turning, oh, that is already experienced to be so sweet. We read here that the Lord brings a man to his wit's end. He takes down his building. He rips it down. Because that building that has no foundation, when that building is down, that is where a man, he begins to cry unto the Lord. And he says, Lord, now show me. Lord, teach me. Is there yet a way? Is there yet a way that I may escape this punishment and again be received into favor? Or is there one here such? Oh, I wish that our benches, they were filled with such people that are saying, is there yet a way that I may escape that punishment and again be received into favor? Maybe you say, I do not wish such turmoil in my heart. I do not wish for such anxiety in my life. Oh, you say wrong. You say wrong. Because the Lord, He upholds His people in it. There is such a blessedness in it. Ask them. They would not exchange that anxiety. They would not exchange that turmoil, not for all the pleasures of this world. Oh, ask them. They say there is no opening. there is no opening. Of Christ, whom God's people love, I do not know anything about him. And yet that drawing, that upholding grace, what do we read that Paul says of Abraham? Against hope, he believed in hope. So impossible. And yet, the Lord upheld him in it, and the Lord fulfilled it in his own time. Oh, I hope that there are some among us. May the Lord give that it is every single one of us, young and old together, that may not be strangers of this instruction of the Spirit of the Lord. God will have his justice satisfied. Maybe then it is for you so dark. Maybe that you only tremble under it. Maybe that you do not know how to be delivered. Yet in your heart, that it is the same as it was in the heart of the disciples. The Lord Jesus said, will you also go away? How is it? Will you also go away? You come here then no more. Oh, then they said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Does your heart say that too? Lord, to whom? To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And those were they who were led step by step into the blessed mysteries of that only begotten Son of God. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, thou knowest our hearts and all that they contain. We must be instructed by thee, and our building must come down. Oh, we fight against it, we rebel against it. We will not have thee to reign over us, but wilt thou work through and bring us to that place where we may become as a weaned child, and that we may be able to receive this blessed instruction in the foundation, what is necessary, the satisfaction of thy justice. Lord, remember us, bring us safely home and with desire in thy house in this afternoon. Help thy servant who hopes to go before us once again. We ask of thee opening and liberty, Lord, for him. And could it please thee to raise us up again, to give us sufficient strength to go in and out as before time. Thy will be done. Forgive our sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 73:2-6. O Lord, regard me when I cry. In mercy, hear me when I speak. Thou bidst me seek thy face, and I, O Lord, with willing heart reply, thy face, Lord, will I seek. 2, 3, and 6 of Psalter 73. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.